Welcome to Good News from the Good Book with Dr. Tim Rader, Senior Pastor at the Fundamental Baptist Church, located in Kinross, Michigan. Stay with us for the next 30 minutes as we bring you a message from God's Word.
Take your Bibles, if you would, and turn to 2 Corinthians chapter 4. 2 Corinthians and chapter 4. I want to start the service out by saying hello to one of our viewers, our live stream viewers in Iron River, Michigan. It is Janet Martin. I think I've got the name right. 84 years of age. Actually, she's got a grandson here and granddaughter and great-grandchildren here as well. And I don't want to, Janet, I want you to know, I know you're watching and you're watching, you watch faithfully. I found out you were 84 this morning, but I think your grandson maybe thought you were a little older than that. I'm not sure. Like maybe 104, something like that. Age. No, I'm kidding totally. You know who I'm talking about, your grandson, Jeff, right? Okay. Detective in Chippewa County. That's the one right there. He's the one. Right? Okay, 2 Corinthians. I was going to preach, well, last week I was going to preach, and it wasn't going to be a mission conference message. You know, the week after the election, I thought, no, I can't do that. I pulled back a little bit. And so that's the tenor of this message, but some time has gone by between now and then. I'm not as angry as I was, you know. So, and I want to encourage you. I really do. November the 3rd maybe didn't go quite the way we thought it was going to go yet, at least at the top of the ticket for some people. Washington, what you got to know, is not our hope. For the Church of Jesus Christ, we look to our Savior, and there are great, great days coming. I know, and here's what I struggle with as an American, the big cities. I just struggle with it, with the immorality and the corruption, and you know, it's like man sitting on the throne there, and it's a big problem. The shenanigans, the one-sided media, the spiritual wickedness in high places, and as a child of God, You can't let that get the best of you. Man, we're children of the light. And we're on the victory side. And if 2020 has taught me one thing, it is going to be so easy for the Antichrist to institute all of his programs. I have learned that. I know what the Bible says, and Jesus referring to his people as sheep, and then there are people that are not of his flock that are sheep as well. And I have no doubt in my mind, church raptured, church rescued, Church of Jesus Christ out of the way, the man of sin is going to step on the stage and he's going to get everything that he wants, at least for 3.5 years. And then as you do the best to hang on for the last 3.5 years, that is not my message this morning. I have a message for every child of God, everyone who claims to be born again. And I want you to know this at the beginning of the message this morning. I'm disappointed, but I am not discouraged. No how, no way. And I read what the Apostle Paul here says in 2 Corinthians in chapter 4. And I recognize that, man, he had tough times, tough days in his day as well. I have read through the shutdown all over the nation, how it has impacted the Church of Jesus Christ. And I read it just this last week, denominational churches, their giving is down 60%. I talked to a local pastor that I would consider not a right-wing pastor, and he said to me, you know, people are missing, they're not coming. He's saying, I have doubts on whether they are ever going to come back. And when I hear those kinds of things, I thank God for Fundamental Baptist Church. And I thank God that our giving is up at least 20%. And yeah, you know, it's like we're trying to build a church with the emergency brake on, and it's not like we're packed out every service. But in the COVID-19 era, and especially with a national holiday or a statewide holiday with deer hunting season, there's a pretty good crowd this morning. And then we've got people that are home that are ill, and I encourage you, play it safe. If you've got a fever, man, stay home. If you're ill, stay home. It's a different day. I understand that. And there's never going to be any mask shaming here. That doesn't happen here. But on the other hand, we're the Church of Jesus Christ. Let's listen to what the Apostle Paul said. Would you stand with me? Let me read just a little bit. 2 Corinthians and chapter 4. chapter 4. Therefore, seeing we have this ministry, as we have received mercy, we faint not, but have renounced the hidden things of dishonesty, not walking in craftiness, nor handling the word of God deceitfully, but by manifestation of the truth, commending ourselves to every man's conscience in the sight of God. This is a biggie. But if our gospel be hid, it is hid to them that are lost, in whom the God of this world hath blinded the minds of them which believe not. That's where we're at. Lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine unto them. For we preach not ourselves, but Christ Jesus the Lord, and ourselves your servants for Jesus' sake. Father, bless this morning in the message. God, do here this very day what needs to be done. Encourage every child of God. Some may be sitting at home and they're ill. This is the season of sickness. Some do get COVID-19. Some have it and don't even know they have it. And I personally believe that I've been exposed to it many times. In fact, I know so in hindsight after people get back to me. But you're on the throne. And God, we're doing our best to serve you. Would you help us? And Lord, encourage that despondent saint of God. And Lord, that rebel, arrest their attention. In Jesus' name, amen. Go ahead and be seated and hold your hand here, because this is where we're going to spend all of our time. But go to the 31st Psalm, Psalm 31. Would you do that? 31st Psalm. These are just words of great encouragement. I read them a couple of times this week. I even read them a couple of times this morning. God is on the throne. Look at verse 19 of Psalm 31. Here's what David said. Oh, how great is thy goodness, which thou hast laid up for them that fear thee, which thou hast wrought for them that trust in thee before the sons of men. Romans chapter 8 and verse 28, you're well familiar with that. And we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them that are the called according to his purpose. Lamentations, don't turn there, let me just read it. Chapter 3, verse 22 says, It is of the Lord's mercies that we are not consumed, because his compassions fail not. They are new every morning. Great is thy faithfulness. I like the first phrase of the very next verse. The Lord is my portion. Man, we don't need to fear life. You're going to hear that several times in the message this morning. Go back to 2 Corinthians and chapter 4. Paul looks persecution and death right in the eye. And he says, I will serve God. I don't know if you know this or not, there were plagues in the first century. There was persecution in the first century. They knew what it was to suffer just a little bit in the first century. Same book, before we read a verse, go back a few chapters to chapter 11, 2 Corinthians and chapter 11. Verse 23 says, are they ministers of Christ? I speak as a fool. I more. Now listen to Paul's testimony. In laborers, more abundant. In stripes, above measure. Beatings. In prisons, more frequent. In deaths, oft. But did he cower in a corner? No, sir. Verse 24. Of the Jews, 5 times received I 40 stripes, save one. Thrice was I beaten with rods. Once was I stoned. Thrice I suffered shipwreck. A night and a day I have been in the deep, treading water. In journeys often, in perils of waters, in perils of robbers, in perils of mine own countrymen, in perils by the heathen, in perils in the city, in perils in the wilderness, in perils in the sea, in perils among false brethren, in weariness and painfulness, in watchings often, in hunger and thirst, in fastings often, in cold and nakedness, beside those things that are without, that which cometh upon me daily, the care of all the churches. Paul said, man, I've experienced tough times in life, but I serve God anyway. This is a real biblical, but it's a Bible principle. I believe that America has turned into a bunch of sissies. I do, for the most part. I know that's not real popular. I'm saying this is not the generation of World War II. I hope we get there. I mean, I'm not hoping for war. I'm talking about tenacity. And other countries have gone the same way. We just kind of sissified, kind of weak, we've gotten real comfortable. We've gotten used to never experiencing what third world countries experience all the time. And that's the blessings of God. I thank God for that. Go back to verse 1 of chapter 4 now and let me get this quick. We have a job. He says in verse 1, therefore, and by the way, the first letter to the Corinthians, Paul was real aggressive. Man, he nailed their sin. The second letter that he wrote, the second epistle to the Corinthians, it was more of a defense of truth and a defense of his own ministry. And he says here in verse, and their ministry, therefore, seeing we have this ministry, serving others. Literally, the word literally speaks of those who serve and wait and prepare and wait on tables. That Paul said, we have been given a job as the church of Jesus Christ. We have been given this ministry. So we can't faint because the mercies of God, they're new on us every morning. God takes care of us all of the time. And I'm getting way out of my message and way ahead of what I wanted to share right from the get-go. But I want to tell, well, let me, this job, first of all, he says, we have received mercy. Because of this, we faint not. So I'm disappointed with a lot of things in life. It's always been that way. But I'm not discouraged. In fact, I'm excited. And I know this, none of this has caught our Lord by surprise. So in spite of everything, I've got to look back and say, well, this must be the hand of God, because we certainly have been praying for his best and for his blessings. And some of this America has brought on themselves, and I understand it. And God in his great foreknowledge and God in his great wisdom, this is all preparations for the rapture, all preparations for the last days. It's a purging for some, if you will. They went out from us, but they were not of us. Some are never going to be willing to pay the price to serve God. He says, knowing this, because of the mercies of God in our life, we faint not. We have a job. This is an unusual church. Not unique. There are churches just like this all over the state of Michigan that are still having great crowds. Let me speak as a pastor, give you some instruction. Go to Hebrews 10. I know you know what it says, but go there. Maybe you're a new Christian, you don't know what it says, but Hebrews chapter 10. And verse 24, let me read it. And the reason we need to be faithful to God's work the best way we can is because souls are in the balances and our brethren need us. It says in verse 24, let us consider one another. That would be novel. Let us consider one another to provoke unto love and to good works. Here's how you do it. Not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together. I know there are people doing it, as the manner of some is. But exhorting one another, and so much the more, as you see the day approaching. I've heard this, if I've heard it once, I've heard it probably 1,000 times without exaggeration. Pastor, live stream is wonderful, but it's not the same. And it's not. And it's filling a gap and filling a need. I thank God for that. But there's no fellowship there. Very little praying there. Very little worship there. It can happen. Not corporate worship. Probably, I don't know this, but no tithing there. And I'm pretty sure there's no altar call there. So you see how you kind of, it's just not quite enough. Now let me say this as the pastor of this, and I'll call it a great church. Man, we're down. We've been down for a while, right? But there's still, I could say, several hundreds of people here this morning. As your pastor, coming into the holiday season, this flu season, everything's going to go around. If you're sick, stay home. If you don't feel good, stay home. Err on caution. That's the right thing to do. And that is the right thing to do for the brethren. But the problem is, if you feel vulnerable, stay home. And you got to know this, because not enough people are repeating this. I'm repeating the CDC. 99.7% of the people that get COVID-19 are going to survive. I'm confident I already had it. I'm confident, as many of you have testified. In fact, I know some of you that said you were tested and you've got antibodies. Well, how could that be? Because it's been here for a while. But if you spend your life in fear, looking for the boogeyman behind every bush, man, I just ask you this question. What's it going to take to keep you from serving God? And for some, it Doesn't take much. I'm not chewing anybody out. I'm concerned. I'm concerned about people that have not been here since March. And I know their lives have changed. And I mean, there might be an exception, but if you're honest with yourself, you know that'd be, we need one another. We'll do what we got to do. The cantata, we're practicing. We're going to have the cantata. We'll do it like we got to do it. You know, we'll do, if we have to have everybody, you know, spread way out and most of it's live stream, that's just the way it is. We'll do it however we've got to do it. But we have a job and we can't stay home and give up on God because of fear of a virus. Man, it's not the bubonic plague. Boy, I'm getting myself in trouble, aren't I? Okay, let's move on. Life is tough. Let's read on. Let me read on here a little bit more. Go back to, we're live stream though. It's too late, right? 2 Corinthians chapter 4. 2 Corinthians chapter 4. All right. Verse 3. If our gospel be hid, it's hid to them that are lost, in whom the God of this world hath blinded the minds of them which believe not. Come and arrest me. Lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine unto them. For we preach not ourselves. You got to know that here. We don't exalt ourselves. We don't preach ourselves. We preach Jesus. We want people to come to Christ. The Philadelphia church is that church of the open door we read about in Revelation and chapter 3. And when it's the darkest, that's when the light is the brightest, whatever light there is. We get to be that city that is set on a hill. We get to be that, we get to carry the light in the darkness of the generation and the last days in which we live. As children of God, let's do it for the glory of God. Don't be ignorant. Don't endanger other people. But don't be afraid either. God hath not given us the spirit of fear. The Christian life isn't for sissies. It isn't. The devil will bring something into your life to trip you up, and one thing will lead to another, and before long, you'll be out of sorts with God and out of touch with God, and that's just a dangerous, dangerous thing. Verses 8 through 12, let me read what the Apostle Paul here said. Verse 8 says, "For we are troubled on every side, yet not distressed. We are perplexed, but not in despair. Persecuted, but not forsaken. Cast down, but not destroyed. Always bearing about in the body the dying of the Lord Jesus, that the life also of Jesus might be made manifest in our body. For we which live are always delivered unto death for Jesus' sake. For the life also of Jesus might be made manifest in our mortal flesh. So then death worketh in us, but life in you." Paul faced death daily. And he did not run from it. Then you read his testimony. We read a little bit of it at the beginning of the message. Paul stood tall for God. He wasn't ignorant about it. And if the time comes, we all got to wear masks all the time. As long as I can still preach, and as long as we can still congregate and practice our First Amendment rights, if that would be the best, then fine. All right. But we don't stop preaching. We don't stop assembling. We don't stop blessing and being a blessing to one another. We continue to serve God. It's a tough life, and things are going to go wrong every day that you live here on this earth. I heard a funny story last week that maybe I heard before, and I just didn't recollect it, but it was rehearsed to me. And colonoscopies are not a lot of fun. There's a man in this. That's not funny. That's not funny. I have one this week. That's not funny. There's a man in this church that had a colonoscopy, not in the local hospital, in the hospital downstate, all right? I won't name the hospital because I don't want to get sued. And he had a colonoscopy, and he was recovering. He's starting to regain his consciousness, and a nurse comes in and starts to prep him for a second colonoscopy. Now, that's a bad day. One colonoscopy is bad enough. A second colonoscopy on the same day. What in the world is that about? So life is tough. There's going to be discouragements. There's going to be times where it seems like the bottom falls out. I'm pretty excited about the days in front of us. And I do know that Jesus is coming very soon. And I'm excited about that as well. And wouldn't it be wonderful to be able to be numbered with those that suffer for Jesus Christ? instead of just living in the lap of luxury for Jesus Christ? Wouldn't it be good to identify with his sufferings? Paul said, I glory in that. He obviously must have, and he knew what it was to experience a tough life. He said, for me to live is Christ. He said, my life's about Christ. I'm going to live for him. And to die is gain. Go to the next chapter, because I'm almost out of time. I want to read before I get to it. Let me continue to read. Resurrection life, verse 14. Just like Abraham of old, even if it goes bad, I know we'll be raised in the resurrection. Verse 15 says, for all things are for your sakes, that the abundant grace might through the thanksgiving of many redound to the glory of God. May God, may Christ have a faithful church in the last days, a church that is willing to go all the way for him, for which cause we faint not. But though our outward men perish, yet the inward man is renewed day by day. For our light affliction, which is but for a moment, worketh for us a far more exceeding eternal weight in glory. You understand what Paul's saying? I'm not afraid to die. Man, Paul was stoned. Paul was beaten many times. Paul suffered shipwreck and headaches and pestilence, he says, and misunderstanding and rumors. But he said, I go on for the glory of God, while we look not at the things which are seen, but the things which are not seen. For the things which are seen are temporal. They're temporary. But the things which are not seen are eternal. Got to keep heaven in view, especially in these days in which we live. The next four verses or more are really where I wanted to spend all my time this morning. It's a tough life. We have a job, and it's a tough life. And this outline isn't going to win any homiletic awards. We have a job. It's a tough life. It's not for sissies. But we have an awesome future. An awesome future. For we know that our earthly house of this tabernacle were dissolved. He said, if our earthly house of this tabernacle, you understand what Paul's saying? He's talking about his body. He says, I know this, that once this body, it was wearing out, it had to be wearing out already when Paul wrote this, all that he suffered, all the persecutions, all the beatings, all the sickness and pestilences, all the misunderstandings, and then the care of so many brethren that were looking to him for leadership. But he said, when this body wears out, when this body is dissolved, when it is gone, look what he says. For we know that our earthly house of this tabernacle were dissolved. If it were dissolved, we have a building of God, an house not made with hands, eternal in the heavens. Paul said, I'm not afraid to die. Paul said, it was David that said, yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. Paul saying, I'm telling you this morning, I'm going to die apart from the rapture. You're going to die apart from the rapture. And if I die in the saddle of COVID-19, I'm just telling you, I'm not going to fear it. I mean, if that's the will of God for me, I'm not going to be stupid about it. I'm going to try to do the best I can. But if that's the will of God, that's the way it is. I'm not going to sit in a corner or lock myself in a closet or climb up on a shelf and become a hermit. Man, I'm not going to do that. I'm going to be faithful to the things of God. We need to do that as children of God. Be smart. I multiple times since June, I've spent time with other people that 3 weeks later come and tell me, hey, out of due diligence, I got to tell you this. I tested positive for COVID-19. It was way after the fact. And I was with them in a car. And I was with them at a table, booth at a restaurant, in a church pew. We hugged. I'm telling you this. We can't be stupid. But God hath not given us the spirit of fear and of power and of love. If the devil can get the church cowering in the corner and not doing the job, the devil wins the last blow of the battle. And that is not where we want to be. It's not where we want to be. Hey, I got to say this. Everybody hear this. There are some things worse than death. There are things worse than death. Like turning your back on your Savior. Like not being faithful to God. That'd be worse than death. You're going to face him. Harry went home to be with the Lord on Friday night. Man, I got mixed emotions about that. I do. I know his children do. I know Nancy, his wife, does. You know, because it's bittersweet. And I know that Harry knew this was coming. He knew it was coming probably weeks ago, I'm thinking. Yeah, because we talked. We talked just a week ago, we talked. And he said, I want you to know I'm completely content. I'm completely settled. I got my 70 and more. God has blessed me. You know, he was just bubbling over about that, and the whole time he's in pain. And he kept it to himself as best he could. But losing Harry to heaven, that's not a loss. But having it happen, I kind of look to him as like a patriarch of the church. He had no office in the church. He never did. He was a soldier. Yeah. You know, and he'd been faithful for so many years. And that's a seat right there. Right there. And I would ask you the question this morning, who's going to fill that seat? Who's going to fill the gap? One of the reasons it's such a big blow to me is I saw Harry's radically changed life when he got born again. I kind of think of Harry as like Saul of Tarsus before he got saved. I don't know that he killed anybody before he got saved. I hesitate to say this on the air, but I know this is true. He told me. But he shot at people before he got saved. Harry, I shouldn't say people. Before he was born again, people gave him a wide berth. Now, some of you just know him as a little old man. I remember Harry Reinfeld. What a trophy of grace. He was a man's man who got born again. What a glory. Let's read a little bit more here in 2 Corinthians chapter 5. Verse 2 says, for in this we groan earnestly, desiring to be clothed upon with our house which is from heaven. Paul said, I look forward to heaven. For if so be that being clothed, we shall not be found naked. For we that are in this tabernacle do groan, this earthly tabernacle, being burdened. We know what that's about. Not for that we would be unclothed, but clothed upon that mortality might be, I love this, swallowed up of life. Paul said, I'm going to live forever. Right now, Harry is going to live forever. Later, we don't have time to read it. Later on in this very chapter is the passage that says, if we're here, we're absent, but to be absent from this body is to be present with the Lord. And right now, Harry is with his Savior. Right now, there is so much going on. Harry's eyes, his glorified eyes are wide open, and he's soaking it up. Can you imagine what he has experienced since Friday night? Can you imagine the glory of God? No, you can't. And neither can I. You know, eye hath not seen nor ear heard. Paul saw things that were unspeakable. Harry's there. And he's seeing it right now. Harry used to sit right there, almost every service, right there, that spot. Right now, Harry is right there in the presence of God. Man, we're going to be there one day real soon. Okay, so let me just end this message, and it didn't go exactly like I wanted, and I sure said some things I didn't plan on saying, and God just helped people to forget what I said if they weren't supposed to hear it. I'm not a real cultured man. Sometimes I'm not real kosher, and I use that term knowing exactly what I'm speaking of, but Paul looked at the future. He looked at the future. He looked at it right in the eye. He looked persecution right in the eye. Read the scripture. He looked death right in the eye, and he said, I have been given a job by God, and life is tough, but the future is glorious, and I'm going to serve him until the day I die. And the day I die, to be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. In the meantime, for me to live is Christ. It's Christ. To die is gain.
Thank you for listening to Good News from the Good Book, broadcast under the direction of Dr. Tim Rader, Senior Pastor at the Fundamental Baptist Church in Kinross, Michigan. For more information, please visit our website at fbconline.net. We invite you to stay tuned for the next broadcast when Dr. Tim Rader will bring you Good News from the Good Book.